Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Use Your Psalm 91 Weapon Already in Progress.
Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord.
For those of y'all that don't know what Bill and Betty Wagner are doing and what we're supporting as a church, he started Psalm 91 Heroes. And we're buying these cards that have on one side, it says, All authority comes from God, Romans 13, 1, 4. We would like to bring to your attention the 91st Psalm. In the scriptures, it's come to be called the Soldier's Psalm. Almost 100 years ago, during World War I, the 91st Infantry Brigade of the U.S. Expeditionary Army was preparing to enter combat in Europe. Because their commander was a devout Christian, he assembled his men and gave each of them a little card on which was printed the 91st Psalm, the same number psalm as their 91st Brigade. They agreed to recite that psalm daily. After they had begun praying the psalm, the 91st Brigade was engaged in three of the bloodiest battles of World War I, Chateau Thierry, Bellwood, and the Argonne. Other American units that fought in the same battles had up to 90% casualties, but the 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty.
Amen.
That's right. So you want me to read Psalm 91?
Yeah. Then I want her to read Psalm 91.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, these are the Psalm 91 Heroes pocket cards that we are distributing to all the first responders, policemen, firemen, EMTs, etc. Okay. And so we'll get into that in a minute. So Psalm 91 is God's prayer of protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because He loves me. Because He loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. War is won in prayer. The weapons are the word of God.
Amen. Praise
thank you, Jesus.
The Lord.
So this pocket card is what Bill is passing out. Oh, your pocket. It won't work in your pocket. But anyway, and it costs, I think they're 4 cents a piece is what it's costing us to get them. But he buys large quantity, like 25,000 at a time for 500. Okay. They're going April 11th and 12th down to the Woodlands close to Houston to the Texas Police Chiefs Association meeting, their annual meeting. There's going to be approximately 3,200 police chiefs there. He's not only taking these, he's also taking those crosses, the cross pins that I got from 1687 Foundation, as well as they sent us books called Imagine Heaven by John Burke. The foreword was written by Don Piper, who went 90 Minutes to Heaven. And so they've sent all of this, and we have so much stuff now. Pastor Jeff is going with Bill and Betty down to the Woodlands. They have to take two cars. The hotel rooms are $109 each night, two rooms, gas for two cars to get down there. And while he's down there, he's going to Houston Police Department to deliver 5,500 of these. Okay, so so far you've passed out 20,000 at least, close? Right at it. So 20,000, and there's only 73,000 policemen in Texas. Okay.
Amen.
So we've almost clipped a third of them, getting close. But a lot of them have been given to fire departments and other responders, ambulance drivers, things like that.
Wow. Wait, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I was born out here in West Texas and in a little town. My mother and dad, whenever they were young, they got married, and daddy needed a job, and so he worked in the oil field out here in West Texas. And they went out there in the oil field, and they bought them a little tent and a little bitty wood-burning stove, and they had their first child in that little bitty tent with a wood-burning stove in it, and they was happy because that's the way everybody lives. You know, but, I mean, some of y'all never lived in a tent and had a wood-burning stove to cook a pie with at all. But, you know, my mother did. She was raised up like that. But when we moved down to Goldthwaite, we moved down there, and Dad bought a little piece of property and had an old house that he redid a little bit. But we had a place to hang our hat. We had a place, and I had a place to run and play and to work, and to, you know, everybody worked, and so I just thought this is the way everybody lived. I had a mama and daddy that loved each other. Now I'm going to tell you something here. When I think about these kids that Cheryl was reading about there a while ago, they don't know when they come home from school if there's going to be a place. I think about one of my friends that I know real well. When she was 6 years old, she came home from school and her mother had left her and took everything in the house except what was in her bedroom. There wasn't nothing at the house, nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't grasp coming home at 6 years of age and there be no mom and daddy at home. I can't grasp that. But this couple, this young lady that I'm telling you about, she came home and there was nothing, just like these poor kids. These kids that are to get to live in Christ Haven, that's some of the criteria that's required. You have no place to stay, or you're sleeping in a car with your grandmother. Nothing. You have nothing. You know, we just don't understand how lucky we are, because whenever I would come home in the afternoon from school or whatever, I got off the school bus right in front of the old house we lived in, but it was a house, and we had it, and I was able to, we had something to eat every night, you know. I mean, whenever we had a strong wind blowing, the wind was blowing the paper on the wall, and inside that house would blow on the inside as strong as it did on the outside. You know, but I thought that was normal because that's the way everybody down there lives. You know, you don't realize how lucky we are. Today, I got a nice little one-bedroom. Me and Cheryl have a nice little one-bedroom apartment back here on the backside that we built ourselves with our own hands, and it cost us $35,000, and it's paid for. So we don't need nothing. You know, I mean, I'm so blessed. You know, Cheryl loves her little one-bedroom house because she's got a place to sleep. She's got a bathroom. She can get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and it's either warm or cool. You know, it's not, you know, and don't have to worry about snakes. You know, that's one good thing. I remember when I was in Vietnam, some of you that never had the privilege to go to that place, and I'm glad you didn't. But one morning there, we were in a tent-covered thing with kind of thatched roof on the top of it. And I woke up, and just as I woke up, I looked down, and here's the guy that is caught right beside mine, reached down and grabbed a tent stake, and I thought he was fixing to kill me. I thought he'd lost his mind or something, because crazy things go. I jumped up, and when I did, he said, "Scribner, don't move. Wait a minute. There's a snake right at the head of your bed." A cot. So anyway, I run the other way, and he beat it, and he killed it. And when he did, it was a brown coral snake. So we didn't know what it was, so we took it down to the doctor, the BX dinner, and asked the doctor if he knew what it was. And he said, "Yeah, that's a 100-foot snake." I said, "Man, if that's a 100-footer, it's only about 18 inches long." I said, "Man, he must be a baby." He said, "No, he's full grown." I said, "What do you mean by 100-foot? He said, "If you get bit by that snake, it works on your nervous system, and within 100 feet, you'll die." He said, you may try to run, but said you can't get over about 100 feet and you die. So that gave me a whole new perspective on the country over there in that part of the world. I was a little more careful where I walked and what I did and boots I wore and all kinds of stuff. You know, and then one night I had a really good morning with the F-105s come back in, and I was supposed to do some work on the airplane, and I went out there, and I'm there working on the airplane, and all of a sudden I looked and I saw something moving right there over the wheels, And I looked and I went and got my flashlight, and it was a snake, big as my arm, about 10 foot long. He was curled up around that nice warm tire where that airplane had come in the middle of the night, and it's cold, and he felt that heat, and so he come over and curled up all around that thing. You know, some of you, the more I talk, some of you more, in a little bit, you may start thinking, you know, my house may not be quite so bad. You know, my car may not be quite so bad. My car payments may not be too bad. I think I can go to work and get me a job, and I can do something here. At least I'm in America where I can do something. You know, isn't it wonderful that we live in America instead of just grumbling and complaining? I can remember one of the greatest stories I ever heard Cheryl tell was when she was having trouble like that with her two kids, when she went out trying to find a job, and she'd run out of a job, and she was sitting there, and Scott comes by, and she's crying and everything. He walks by and looks in at Mama. He's only about this big, and he says, "I hate it when she does that." But she's crying because she ain't got a job. Well, Christy, 2 years older, Christy comes up and put her arm over Cheryl's shoulder and pats her mama on the back and said, "Mama, what's wrong?" She said, "I don't have a job. We don't have no money. We don't have nothing to eat. I don't know what we're going to do." And Christy said, "Well, Mama, why don't you go get a job?" So Cheryl said, "My goodness gracious, that's what I can do." So she got up, got dressed, going out and took the newspaper and started to work the next day. Wow. You know, so in America, you need to stop being in your pity party and start thinking, hey, I'm living in America. I can go out and do something. I can go mow somebody's yard. Or they say, well, what if you don't have a mower? See if they got one, use theirs. And all kinds of things you can do. But you know, when I think about now then, when I said all that to say this, that if all those kind of things can happen to us, if all those things we just heard Cheryl read about can happen to a group of men in World War I, and I don't know if you paid attention or not, I don't know if you were listening, but those men that was in World War I, that brigade and everything, that 91st Brigade, those guys, because they had a commander that was a real strong Christian believer. Did you hear her say that?
Yeah.
He wanted his men to read Psalm 91 every day. And so he gave them a little Bible or something, or a card or whatever with Psalms 91 on it. And every day those men quoted Psalms 91.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Use Your Psalm 91 Weapon, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.